Now I declare that the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom, knowledge of Him, and I'm being filled with the knowledge of His will, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing Him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work, and I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to His word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area, and it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Do you believe that?
Yes.
I said, do you believe that?
Yes.
Can you turn to somebody beside you and tell the person, I believe it?
I believe it.
Tell somebody else, I believe it.
I believe it.
That the word is entering my heart today.
The word is entering my heart.
It is giving me light and direction.
It is
healing me in every area. Say, it is healing me in every area.
In my spirit,
in my soul,
in my body,
is healing me totally. From the top of my head
to the soles of my feet.
Total healing. That is my portion today. By the entrance of the word. In the name of Jesus. Now greet somebody, tell the fellow, congratulations, you are very wise. Congratulations, you are very saved. Yes. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. If you believe it, give me an amen again.
Amen.
All right, please open your Bibles. We want to continue teaching on the pursuit of God. And I have a message today from the book of Genesis chapter 5. Last time, I wanted to start talking about the fact that faith is a fight and the reason why we need to fight with faith. I may get there today, but I feel like the Lord wants me to start from here, the book of Genesis chapter 5. I'm going to read from the New Living Translation, just to save time, and because what we want from there is just in a small area, we'll start reading from verse 18. It said, when Jared was 160, I'm using the New Living Translation, all right? When Jared was 162 years old, he became the father of Enoch. After the birth of Enoch, Jared lived another 800 years, and he had other sons and daughters. Total, Jared lived 962, and then he died. Now, verse 21. When Enoch was 65 years old, he became the father of Methuselah. After the birth of Methuselah, Enoch lived in close fellowship with God for another 300 years, and he had sons and daughters. Enoch lived 365 years, walking in close fellowship with God. Then one day he disappeared because God took him. One day the Bible says he disappeared because God loved his company so much. Said this man will do better in heaven than on the earth. Now, you don't have to be a hermit or to be a what we call holy man. You know the way we talk about holy people who seclude themselves. You don't have to be celibate to walk with God, because we see that Enoch had sons and daughters. He had a wife. I hope you're getting my point here. He had a family. Yet he walked so closely with God, and the Lord enjoyed his company so much, the Bible says that one day he disappeared. Why? God preferred his company. God took him. Now we're talking about the pursuit of God. And what I'm trying to do, all right, by the Spirit of God, is to set a different set of goals. Or let me put it like this, a different spirit before us, a different goal before our lives, something that we'll be pursuing that's different from what the average person is pursuing, that will set us apart as true believers in Christ, so that the mundane things of this world, they don't hold us down. Let me say it again, what I said a few days ago, I mean, one of these meetings, I explained the fact that this earth is temporal. Temporal means that it is short-lived. I'll use that in that context. Even though you live to be 120 years, the first few years in quote of eternity, you realize that 120 years was short. Are you getting my point here? Yes, 120 years was a very, very brief period of time. Yet you are going to live forever. Your spirit, the real you, the soul inside you, your real person outside this body will live forever. And what you accomplish on this earth, spiritually speaking now, of course, everything you accomplish, the Bible says, will be burned with fire. Some things will go through the fire and they will endure. And those are the things that will reflect in your life after now. And I think it is foolishness to focus so much on things that will pass away with the, if God blows upon it, all right? Say, all flesh is grass, and the goodliness thereof is like the flowers of the field. Are you getting my point? The grass withers and the flower fades. What happens? When the breath of God blows upon it. When God blows upon things, it doesn't say because this belongs to Christians, they will not be destroyed. They will also be destroyed if they are made of grass. That's just the way it works. It's foolishness, therefore, to spend so much energy planning for this life and not look for something that is hereafter. Like we say, those are just to illustrate. You see people planning for marriage. They know nothing about marriage, but you see what they do spend energy, the amount of energy and effort they spend concerning the wedding. The process, the whole ceremony of wedding usually is 2 days. One traditional, okay, let's say 3 days. One traditional marriage, one the church marriage, strokes court wedding, and then Thanksgiving. It's over now. But you see effort, energy going to that. Most people don't spend that kind of effort or energy preparing for marriage. Wedding, 3 days. Even if it's a Jacob that's wedding, it's 7 days maximum. It's over. Then marriage starts. Can be the next 10 years, 20, 30. And the other day I was looking at, watching the story of George Bush on TV, and they said he had been married for 72 years, he and his wife. They've been married for so long and lived together that one fell sick, the other one fell sick too. Carried the same, two of them to the same hospital, I think the same intensive care unit. You understand my point? 72 years. That is, it makes more sense to prepare for that than to be preparing for 3 days. In the same manner, that's how it is with our lives. Yes, people labor for what, okay, my son has to go to school, get a degree, and be able to get a job. I have to be able to improve myself so I can get a job. And when I get a job, I want to build a house. I want to build a second one. I spend all of this energy. At the end of the day, you know, today I was reading the biography of John Alexander Dowie again, who built Zion City, United States, okay? And Gordon Lindsay, who wrote the books, he was just describing things. So at the end of everything, all they left for him was just this small square, you know, in one small area, his grave. That was all that was left for him. And I said, look, this is life. Beyond the earth, much more than that is left for you. Are you getting my point here? And what to be like then is determined by how you live today. That's what I'm emphasizing. I've had discussions with people, please listen to this. They not tell you that Nigeria is by wanting to go somewhere where life is more comfortable. And I say God must be very foolish when he put all of us in the country. I don't know whether you're getting my point here. There is something, all right? Please read my book if you haven't read it, titled Don't Quit the Army. There is a reason why God placed you on the earth. Don't ever forget that. And in the midst of everything, he says, seek after me. Are you getting my point here? That there's a way, listen, everything you do in life makes a statement. You know, I read the scripture today, quickly open to it, Psalm 11. Very powerful. I read it during the night. I just woke up during the night, read the Bible. I just took my Bible and I opened it and it fell to, well, I was looking for something else. Then it fell to Psalm 11. Who has a New Living Translation or a simple version? Go ahead, read it. Let me hear you.
In the Lord I take refuge.
In the Lord I take refuge.
How then can you say to me, flee like a bird to your mountain?
Are you getting my point here? He said, in the Lord I take refuge. Why should you tell me to run to America because I want to prosper? I don't know whether you're getting my point here. In the Lord I take refuge. Why are you telling me that because that was what I saw in it? David said, in the Lord I take refuge. Why do you say to me, go and hide? That where I am right now, I'm hidden. I hope you're getting my point here. You know, if you read further down, like he was reading just now, you find out that he was saying that, okay, the wicked have, they've planned this, they've planned that. You say, what? In the Lord I take refuge. I won't be running to and fro because some negative things are, you know, they are gathered against me. That's what, when I read that this morning, I said, my Father in heaven. Every Christian should read this properly. Say, in the Lord I take refuge. Don't say to me, go and look for your prosperity somewhere. Whatever I will be in life must be the place God created me to be. Please, this is what I'm preaching this season. I have seen people behave as if there is no God. Actually, I was looking for that scripture. It said, the wicked says in his heart, there is no God. Now, it's so easy. Okay, that's actually when I got into that. I wanted to read that. Okay, when he said that, the foolish man, the fool says in his heart that there is no God. And something struck me. That you read through the Bible, you hardly find men who said there is no God. Are you getting my point here? Okay, and there were fools there too. And I said, what's going on here? Yes, possible for somebody to say, look, there is no God. And we have a lot of them this modern day. Okay? That's why you go to Europe, you go to these so-called advanced countries, they are all over the place. It's a standard thing in places like Europe. But Ed Coase said, practical atheism is not raising a fist and saying there is no God. It's living as if there is none. Then something dawned on me. There are practical atheism for Christianity. There are Christians who actually behave like fools and say there is no God. You say, what do you mean, Banky? What do you mean? But they say they are Christians. I'll tell you what I mean. You know, life, you can look at life different ways. You can take it as a whole. The man can say there is no God. But break it to pieces. Many times Christians say, in effect, there is no God. Like I told a friend of mine, said that God is not interested in who is the president in Nigeria. That's a Christian saying there is no God. That in the area of appointing a president, there is no God in Nigeria. Do you get my point? We do that. We make statements. Concerning my destiny, there is no God. I have to plot it myself. There is no God. God doesn't have a plan. God doesn't have a purpose. I can do what I like. That's actually the practical side of it. Very few people, even those who don't believe in him. Like I used to say, former American president. The man will sit down and legislate everything against what the scripture says. And he believes it. And he says, I'm a Christian. Come on, don't deceive me. You are not a Christian. People say, don't judge. I don't know the meaning of the word, don't judge. It means that, don't you judge before you cross the road? Don't you judge before you cross the road? You have to judge whether that car is going to hit you or it's not going to hit you, man. Otherwise, if you don't judge, the car will judge you. Are you getting my point? Come on, we read the scriptures. Let me not digress into that. When Jesus said don't judge, that was not what he meant. He didn't mean don't critically appraise a situation and have an opinion. He didn't mean that. It means don't pass judgment. Don't tell a man, my enemy, die. That's what he said.
Okay.
Don't pass judgment. Don't condemn people. That's what he was saying. But we're not going to that now. But then that people do things which practically, all right, those things are making statements that there is no God. You want to marry a wife? You sit down and say, God is not in heaven, he's in my village. Because a wife must be somebody that's pleasing to my villagers. You are saying, in effect, there is no God. In practical terms, you are saying, there is no God. Please, I hope you're getting my point here. And these are the things that are inside my heart now, and I think Christians should wake up. When I'm talking about the pursuit of God. There is God. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
We know that there is a God, our Father, creator of heaven and the earth, and creator of our souls and all of that. No, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the fact there is God in every aspect of your life. He is God. The Bible says the very hair of your hair, he numbered them. He didn't count them, he numbered them. There's a difference. He knows which one is number one, number two, number three. To count knows the total number. To number means to know which one is which. Listen to me, there is God. And this God, like we're talking about on Tuesday, we say let's magnify him. He is God and there is none else. The devil is not God. The president of this country is not God. I don't need to say it again. America is not God. Europe is not God. David said it like that in Psalm 11. He said, in God I have trusted, I have placed my refuge in him. He is my refuge, my fortress. He said, why do you now say to me, flee like a bird to the mountain and go and hide? He said, no, I will hide in God. Listen, the amount of effort we use, listen, I was talking to one brother today. He was telling me about one of his friends who spent 80 years looking for American visa. I didn't find it. Some people got it, Donald Trump canceled it last moment. So the brother was telling me that this guy spent 80 years before he finally gave up. Not as if he got the visa. I've seen a man who spent, I don't know how many years he spent, but he was still spending the years. By the time I left him, those days looking for a British visa. I know people that spent energy. I remember this story I tell once in a while about a young man who asked me, well, of course, we're all young that time, but he was my junior. He asked me for counsel. He had paid for visa interview 3 times for the UK visa, all right? And each time that time, it was a whole month's earning to pay. That's how expensive it was. He has spent that energy. And I wonder, if people spend that kind of energy to seek after God, won't they find him? That's what I'm trying to say. If they spend that energy, one of our brothers told me the other day, he said, I've gone for Wafbeck. All right? He said, I'm lodging in a hotel. And that was going to cost him money. He said, I could have gone to somebody's house. He said, I decided to stay in a hotel. He said, after all, when we go for holidays, this is how we spend the money. I don't know whether you're catching that. He said, when we go for holidays, this is how we spend the money. Why is it that when it comes to hearing the word, we can't spend the money like that? He said, no, let me spend the money. So I'm putting in the energy. I'm going to stay in a hotel, pay, and from there we'll be coming to hear the word of God for the whole week. Went from the beginning to the end, several times a day, being cooked with God's word. So I told him, I said, congratulations. I said, that's how to open the inner ears. He said, sir, explain. I said, I don't have time. Just know your inner ears have been opened. Later on, of course, what does that mean? The Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing. We used to think that it means that hearing it plenty times. But nobody preached to Abraham many times. God will talk to him once and that's it. You don't have to preach to an unbeliever 100 times before he believes. Faith comes by hearing and hearing. It's not hearing, 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 hearing. Hearing and hearing is a kind of hearing. So Jesus will say, he that has an ear, let him hear. And he's talking to people that have physical ears. What does that tell you? There is another level of hearing that they are not hearing. And Isaiah said it like that. God said to Isaiah, go and deaden the ears of these people. He said, go and render their ears dull. Say to them, hear but do not understand. That second level of hearing is what people don't have. Even though you preach to them again and again, they hear the same message 100 times. It does not penetrate. Why? The inner ear is not opened because of the repetition. You don't force it open by hearing it too many times. Even though for the man whose inner ear is open, the more you hear it, the better for you. Sometimes the repetition is a sign that your inner ear is going to open. It is not the repetition that opens it, but the persistence that opens it. Are you getting my point here? It's not that I've heard it 100 times, faith has reached a high level. No. It's more of, okay, after a while, like one story, Sunday Adelaja told that time, about how to break out of poverty. All right? And he said they did a series of teachings in the church. And a man, now listen to this, a man wanted to hear the messages and the tapes were for sale. So he went and sold the things that he had and bought the tapes. Now listen to me, that was when his inner ear was open. The fact that he sold what he had, that was what opened his inner ear. And then the man began to listen. He said, this man hardly spoke English, yet the messages were in English. But the man was persistent. He sat down there. Within 4 years, the man was a millionaire. Why? Because the word penetrated and entered into him. That day I told my brother, I said, you are opening the inner ear. By that statement you made, that was when we go on holidays, we blow this money. Why is it that when you want to hear the word, we are reluctant? That's how to open the inner ears. I'm explaining something here. The way people pursue other things, if they look for God like that, they will find him. They will find him. When I say they will find him, it's not as if he's hidden. But listen, there's a way it is. He has to see that the heart really is seeking after him. Listen, with everything that... Listen, let me tell you something. You can be walking with God and you don't know him well. What I mean, you're a good Christian, you're going to church, you're a pastor, you're a preacher. Call to ministry. How do I know? God called Moses from the time he was young. We don't want to go over that again. Then one day the Lord spoke to him, told him to leave Egypt. Then he left Egypt. 40 years later, the Lord came back to him and began to talk to him. God called him, talked to him, gave him a rod, described everything to him. Then one day Moses looked and God essentially said, Moses, what is the problem? He said, I want to see you. Are you getting my point here? He said, this God I'm describing, let's have a better relationship. Because, okay, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to hide you somewhere. I will pass by you. You will see my back part. And when God was passing, God began to describe himself to Moses. That is, all this while, Moses did not understand him well. He said to God, show me your ways. Moses, by that time, had dragged the whole of Israel out of Egypt. At that point. And he was here explaining to God, just show me your ways. Show me what you are doing. And later on, David was going to write about it. That he showed his acts to the sons of Israel. but he showed his ways to Moses. That is, it was possible for Moses to deliver those people in the promised land and not know the ways of God, except that he deliberately sought to know the ways of God. I hope you're getting my point here. You see that people, would, look, that's what I'm preaching, that Christians must have a different kind of heart, all right? The kind of heart that pursues things that are real, they are tangible. Like Bishop Oedipo said then that he wanted to know the end. How do you break out of poverty? He took a book and tapes and decided to go and study. And he stayed there. And let listen, the way those men used to do their things those days, he stayed there, that is, just locked themselves inside the room. I said, I'm staying here until I have revelation. There's nobody out there cooking for him. I'm staying here till I have revelation. I've told people who say they are fasting and they are disturbing the whole society with their hunger. Better go and learn, go and eat. I've told you, go and eat. Men who fast, they don't have time for all kinds of frivolities. They can't say they are fasting and they are watching Manchester United and Borussia Dortmund playing. That is not a fast. You're hungry. When men want to fast, they seclude themselves. Even the Jesus you're talking about, 40 days, there is nobody you saw doing a 40 days fast hanging around anywhere. Moses, 40 days, was on the mountain in the presence of God. Elijah was on his way to a mountain. And Jesus was alone in the wilderness. Not people watching television telling me they are fasting for 40 days. They are keeping up with their programs and they are fasting for 40 days. They are fasting for 40 days, they have gone to women's meeting in church. They are fasting for 40 days, they are going to school, lectures every morning, afternoon. You come on, go and eat. Don't disturb the society. Let's get these things clear. Hunger says absolutely nothing about your spirituality. Nothing. Abstaining from food has no meaning. Unless you are using the effort to concentrate on the word of God and prayer. That's the real fast. I'm explaining the fact that men got up to go and seek after God. And we all seek after things in life. You see the way students seek after success in the exam? Yes, we all know it. Listen, seeking after God is the same thing. The man gets up in the morning, the woman gets up in the morning. Everybody is sleeping. No, wakes up very early. I remember those days when I was doing my last term, the last exam in life I had to settle down to sit for. How did I used to read? 9 o'clock I've slept, p.m. And I sleep like that straight till 3 a.m. 3 a.m. I wake up. Everywhere is quiet. The brain is refreshed. And I will sit down and read till morning. I remember one day some of my classmates talked about the fact that they read for 12 hours straight. This was when I was in university. I said, what? A man read for 12 hours straight? I said, me too, I have to do it. Young boy that I was, I got ready. I ate, get everything. I slept. Went to the class when I woke up. I got to class by 3 p.m. and read straight to 3 a.m. with only two short breaks. Around there, maybe around 7 p.m., went to get something small to eat. Then sometime around maybe 1 a.m., just take a stroll a bit, stretch your leg a bit. Total break throughout that period, maybe 30 minutes. 3 p.m. to 3 a.m. I did it one time. I said, my God, this is good. I did the second time, I said, it is enough. I just wanted to do it. People said they were reading. I felt like, where are you when people are reading? I still remember. I was studying for my second MB that time. And when I did it, I remember when I was going back to the hostel, around 3:30 in the morning, I was tired. My head was feeling woolly, but I was happy with myself. That's called seeking after success in exam. Are you getting my point here? And I'm saying, Christians, listen, we have spent too much energy. Listen, later on we'll get down to it. You'll find out that the major reason God gave us energy is to seek after him. When we seek after him, every other thing they are seeking after will be added. That's it. Everything else will be added. But people don't seek after God. Like I said the other time, they are seeking after how to get God to do things for them. And it's not the same thing. It's not the same thing. It is not the same thing. I'm talking about just seeking to... Listen, we just read about... what's his name now? Enoch. Let's get back there. Genesis chapter 5. It's an Enoch lived 365 years. That's verse 23 that I'm reading now. Walking in close fellowship with God. Then one day he disappeared because God took him. Emphasis there, he was working in close fellowship. You know, Abraham was called a friend of God. Is he your friend? The person that comes to your house every time to collect something from you? Anytime you see, you know he needs something. There are people who you don't, once your phone rings, you don't want to pick the call. But there are those when they call. I missed the call, I call back. I saw your call, what happened? I was just wondering, I've not heard you for some time. They will sit on the phone. Sometimes we just for 30 minutes, 1 hour. At the end of the day, nobody's asking anybody for anything. We are just discussing. We discuss scripture. We discuss life. There are times I remember my wife and I once in a while, we've not seen this man in a while. We'll go and call him. Come, let's go and sit down somewhere. Man, wife, me, my wife, we just sit down. Three sets of us, we just sit down and just be talking and eating, and taking a drink and just sit down till late in the night. It's 11 p.m. Say, let's go home, people. It's getting late. Thank God it's Enugu. We can crawl around at any time of the night. Nobody asks anything from anybody. And you think God doesn't like that idea? I think we have misrepresented him to think that he's a God that anytime he sees us, he's just looking for, oh boy, any other problem. Is there another thing I can do for you today? One day my wife asked me a question, this was years ago. We just finished a church service. She said, my husband, why is it that every time people get up to speak, they say, no matter what you are going through? He said, must I be going through? Can't I just come to church? Do you know, that was the question that day. She said, must I be going through? Why can't I just be happy and I come to church? And that's when it dawned on me that when somebody grabs the microphone, it is no matter what you are going through, I want you to know that it's okay because oftentimes people are going through. But that day she said, is that all there is to it? Why can't you just come to church and say, today is a good day, let's worship our God, he wants to hear our voices. In the evenings, God used to walk down into the garden to fellowship with Adam and Eve. They did not understand problems the way you and I understand it now. He wasn't coming down to solve problems for them. He was just coming down to interact with them. And in that process, that's one thing. You cannot be in God's presence and his nature does not seep into you. It's not possible. Moses will be in his presence. He will come back thinking he's still normal. That's another thing. Forget the goose pimples. What did I say? Am I talking to myself? Am I the only one here? I want everybody to say, I want to be sure you're listening to me. What did I say?
Forget the
goose pimples. Now, what am I bringing out? Forget all these feelings of, that service was powerful. The Holy Spirit was just upon us. It's good. I'm not saying it's bad. It's good when it happens. But don't be impressed with that particularly. Why am I saying so? When Moses came from God's presence, he thought it was still normal. It was the effect his presence had on other people that made him know something was out of order. We'll be talking to people, they'll be shielding their faces like this. Why are you shielding your face? I'm talking to you. Sir, looking into your face, you are blinding my eyes. So he thought the first man was joking. So he went to the next person. That one turned his back to talk to Moses. Moses said, I'm talking to you, face me. Sir, I can't face you. Why? There's a radiance on your face that's disturbing my eyes. That is, Moses so absorbed of God, when he came out, he was radiating him. He did not even know he had absorbed anything. It was people that now told him, oh boy, Oga, things are different with you. He now took a veil to cover his face so he could relate with people. These days, I have a lot of disagreements. In fact, today my wife was still telling me, leave these people alone. You belong to church groups and you're talking with people. And they're analyzing matters in the country. And I realized that some of them will think I'm pretending, but I'm not pretending. That's exactly how I feel. I told them, listen, I refuse to cooperate with your negativity. All the things are going down in Nigeria. People can't eat again. You were telling me just now. Is people can't eat again? I said, is it new? I've been hearing this story for a very, very long time. Go to America. There are people who can't eat. I'm not joking. People can't eat it everywhere. It's in America too. But people will pick those isolated things and blow it up. But for one reason or the other, it has never stuck on me. You can't, look, listen. You can't talk to me and you feel Nigeria is a bad country. Why? That's what I'm talking about. Why? My natural nature? No. It is after you stay in the presence of the Word of God. It infuses an attitude into you. Are you getting my point? That it affects everything you are doing. The way you see things. You can't be in God's presence and it will not affect you. It affects the way you talk. Listen, everything you read in physics and chemistry, that they are spiritual things. If you put iron beside magnet, remove the magnet, then take the iron. If you talk, you put it near another iron, it attracts. Many of the blessings we are looking for in life, God said you can't attract them. There's no divinity inside your soul. That many of the blessings you are looking for in life, you can't attract them. There's no divinity about you. How do you get divinity? Let us sit down in the evening and talk. Not that you have said, God, I have come today for divinity so I can attract blessing. No, you have missed it if you do that. But just be in my presence. What did they used to do? Just used to talk. If I tell you this, surprise you. They will just discuss the garden. Oh, some of us think that God is so God, he doesn't need anybody. Believe me, he likes to talk. Believe me, he likes to interact with his children. Believe me, he likes to discuss creation. This is why I made the stars. And his people will say, is that so? When I made the stars, it was like this. You can see when he was talking to Job, he was quizzing Job concerning his ignorance about creation. What was God saying? If I interact with you, I will give you the knowledge of the principles of creation. If you know the way God is, the Bible says God is love. Love loves to give. He wants to take out of the substance inside him and pass it into somebody. When he found a man, that's what I'm talking about. When he found a man by the name Enoch, believe me, God used to visit Enoch regularly. I don't know whether you're getting my point here. Yes. Go and read my tract. Are we all equal before God? Don't even have the impression that God treats everybody equally. No, he doesn't. Jesus did not. Jesus did not. It was not every house Jesus went into. How many people could send for him? The Roman centurion. Powerful man, he couldn't send for Jesus. He said, but he did. No, go and check it. It was the rulers, the elders of the Jews, that talked to Jesus and said to him, sir, this man has been good to our people. He's not like the normal Romans that you know. This is a good man. They were the ones that interceded for him. Yet, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, they were different. Lazarus first sick, they sent a message. The man you love is sick. Come over. I don't know whether you get my point. He knew them differently. They sent a message. Sir, that guy you love, our brother, he's sick. And Jesus said, oh, don't worry about it. The thing is not up unto this. Anytime we'll get there, it's the same day. Don't worry. What I'm bringing is that, he had the relationship with them. That was a house he used to stop to eat. It is striking to me, believe me, that when he had to raise somebody who had been dead for 4 days, it was that man. The only person who was sick, who died, are you getting my point? Beyond compassion, Jesus shed tears for him. Not for him per se, but for the people around. For Mary and for Martha. That's why I wrote in that my tract, are we all equal before God? Potentially, we are all equal. Potentially, we are all equal. And let me just emphasize this. Don't be deceived. The man of God is not special. I don't know what I get my point. He said, people, so some of these men of God, when God just hears them pray like this, he will just answer. Listen, this preaching is a job. I don't know whether you get my point. I don't know how to explain it. Please don't get it wrong. I'm not going to say that I'm fulfilling is a profession. I can get up here, preach, get home, and don't talk to the Lord. Yet every time I stand up, he pours an anointing upon me. That when I open my mouth, you will be blessed. But on a personal level, it's a different matter. What am I saying? I'm not preaching something that's for preachers. That's what I'm going to emphasize. I'm not preaching something that's for preachers. I'm preaching that every child of God, the heart, the cry of the heart of God is, come close to me. Let us be friends. When he found a man like that in Enoch, he walked with God. After a while, God said, what are you doing on the earth? Come and stay with me in heaven. You are getting what I'm going to say here. That's what happened to Enoch. He got to a point, God said, what are you still doing on the earth? We've read it many times, but I feel like reading it again. He said, Enoch lived 365 years walking in close fellowship with God. Then one day he disappeared because God took him. And listen, and Jesus said it clearly, God is looking for somebody's house that he and the Lord Jesus can come and park and stay inside. He said, if a man loves me, he will keep my word. Then the Father will love him. Then I and the Father will come and make our abode with him. I'm talking about what Christians are supposed to go for. You know, I was listening to this man, Sadhu Selvaraj. That was from him. I first heard it from John G. Lake long ago. Then he was describing Sadhu Sundar Singh, you understand? How when you come to the man's presence, once you just get to his presence, you will feel an aura around him. They said one day the man was walking to Tibet and they never saw him again. Oh yes, they never saw him again. It was a modern experience of Enoch. He was a missionary. He used to go from one place to the other preaching in India, all right? From India to Tibet, just moving around parts of China, just moving up and down. Then one day, the man went on a journey and nobody ever saw him again. They did not see his dead body. They didn't see anything. That was just the last of him they saw. So every time you read his story, they will tell you, born this day, then last sin. That's what they always say. They don't say died. They tell you last sin. Nobody knows when he died. Nobody knows what happened to him. They will just tell you last sin, this particular day. But many people believe that that was a modern day occurrence of this experience. A man walked with God until God took him. I hope what I'm saying is making sense to you. I'm going to emphasize that that is exactly what God is looking for. Somebody who walks with him. Let's get our Christianity away from this one of every time we pray, what need do you have today? Jesus got tired of this need thing. He says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and every other thing will be added to you. That is what we are preaching. Christians, listen. God wants a close relationship with us individually, with each one of us. How do we do it? Simple. First of all, before how we do it, let's not get to how we do it now. First of all, it's just to have that heart desire. Are you getting my point? That what do I want in my life? What's the thing that's most important? I want to work closely with God. That's all. I'm not trying to succeed in ministry. I'm not trying to succeed in business. I'm not trying to look for health. I'm not looking for money. I just want to work closely with the Lord. David said, my soul follows hard after you. That's why you find out. When Paul will pray, go and check all the prayers of Paul. Like the one we recite here every time we want to start studying the word of God. What does Paul say? He said, I pray that you'll be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Can you see that? To be filled with the knowledge of God's will so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord to please him in all respects. To bear fruit in every good work. At the end of the day, we're back to it. And then increase in the knowledge of God. When Moses made his request to God, when God answers him, he describes himself to Moses. I am God, the merciful God. That was an experience. I hope you're getting my point here. That is what God wants to do is to have a close relationship with us so that he describes himself to us. We understand him so well. Like when Port Harcourt teaching, which I've taught many times, people talk about the will of God. The will of God is not that God whispers something to you. No. You can hear voices and there are voices of confusion, and it was God that used those voices to talk to somebody. You say, but God is not an author of confusion. Well, go and read your Bible well. He normally is not an author of confusion, but when somebody decides he wants to die, God will give him a voice that will send him to his death. And we have many examples in scripture. Remember a good example, Balaam. Balaam heard God say to him, get up and go. Yet the Bible says the anger of the Lord was kindled that Balaam went. What does that tell you? God never wanted Balaam to go, even though he was hearing voices. Even though he was an experienced prophet that knew how to discern what he thought was the right voice of God. And we know that God actually spoke to Balaam. But what he discerned was not the will of God. Why? What the man was going after. That's what I'm talking about. What was the primary concern of his heart? The primary concern of his heart was not to know the Lord. The primary concern of his heart was not to become transformed to the image of Christ. The primary concern of his heart is that let me be sure that my prophecies will come to pass so that I can get my pay. That was the primary concern. And that's why I tell Christians today, listen, all these prayers we pray, that is all about filling our pockets. All about, many of the things we do is all about filling our pockets with money, getting more money, giving so we can collect extra. We are missing the point. I said something last time. When Jesus makes a statement, let's know where he may put his emphasis. When he said, give, and it shall be given unto you, he never said, give, so it can be given to you. His emphasis was on giving. It was not on the receiving side. When he says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things shall be added, his emphasis was not on other things being added. His emphasis was on, don't worry about those things. I will give them to you. Just spend your energy seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. The question that, what are you looking for? You know, I like a Franklin song. There's one song he had, so what are you looking for? You know the song? What you're looking for, I'm the one you're looking for. It's a good song. Go and get it. Listen to it. He said, I live for you. I died for you. And I rose up from the dead again. Now I'm asking you, what are you looking for? Most Christians, these days, what are we looking for? When God says, what are you looking for? Lord, you are the God of breakthrough. We have come to you. And listen, and many people came to church because... This is how to break through without stealing. After all, stealing is risky these days. They might bribe you and find your money. So how do I find money? Let me go to the God of breakthrough. You know, one of our brothers told me something a few days ago. I had a very good laugh. He went for a program. It was a place where they were sharing words, you know, intensive word session. So some other brother, they said, oh boy, you came for this program. And this man goes to another church, understand? And it was another church that was organizing this program. Okay, let's just say, let's look for a name. Kingdom Assembly, okay, let's just say it like that. It's organizing a program, and they are teaching the word for days intensively. So Brother A saw Brother B there, and Brother B is a member of Fire Assembly, something like that. I said, what are you doing here? He said, I came to hear the word. He said, but your church, you left church to come here. He said, the guy made a statement, and listen to this, very interesting. You're going to laugh. In fact, when I was going to tell my wife, I told my wife, laugh first. Then I'll tell you the story. And when I told her, she really roared with laughter. The brother said, look, for our church, you know, in their church, they teach all these breakthrough, success, you know, increase, all those methods. He said, in our church, we did learn plenty success. He said, brother, we don't succeed. Now we'll find Jesus. He said, bros, we have succeeded. I've come to look for Christ. That's a man that has insight. He said, oh, that one, what pastor they do? We thank God for his life. Oh. He said, we have succeeded. Please, let us come. Let's find Jesus. So he felt like going to tell the other brother's pastor, say, Oga, see what your church member is saying. And believe me, these days, especially if you're a preacher, you have to deliberately cultivate the habit of putting Christ at the center of everything. Christ has been displaced extensively in our messages. A lot of our messages have a lot of methods. We have a lot of principles. We have a lot of how to do this, how to get this, how to do that. But you go and read, Paul did not emphasize those things. Because they understood that these are the things that are added. They are not the reasons why God gave us scripture. Like I say to Christians all the time, you want to read all of those things, make sure you're just learning the methods to know what is right. What I'm trying to say is that if it's okay, business success, say, look, forget business success. What is the right thing to do as a Christian? I've said again and again, success is a gift of God. Christians are supposed to love righteousness. You love righteousness. You love righteousness. As you love and practice righteousness, ask God for anything, he will do it for you. He said, God has anointed you with the oil of gladness above your fellows. That brother said, listen, we have succeeded. But I like the way he said it. He said, we have succeeded. Let's look for Jesus. While we're succeeding, we didn't find him. While we're making money and using those principles to get things done, we didn't find Christ. He said, now I have seen where Christ is being shown. He's been unveiled. The revelation of his face is being given to us. That is why I have come. And that's what I'm talking about today. Believers, listen, the energy we spend chasing other things, God said, use it to chase me. What about me? There's nothing about me, just me. Just I want to know him. I want to just understand him. I want to know how he reasons. I want to know the kind of God he is. I want to be able to speak like he will speak. Like we're talking about that will of God thing. They asked Paul, what do we do about Christians who are married and are having problems? Paul said, that one, I prayed to the Lord and he said to me, do this. He said, but on the other matters, the ones that are not married, the ones that are single, he said, the Lord didn't see anything, but I am going to give you my opinion. And I know my opinion is one that can be trusted because God has granted me his wisdom. And Paul opened his mouth and he spoke. And today for us is scripture. And why did God not say anything to Paul? I'll tell you. Because he said, Paul, you know me enough. You should be able to talk for me on that matter. That's why he did not say anything. And with all of this, Paul said, what am I still going for? I just want to know him.